firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you?
You've probably no doubt heard the expression, "Don't shoot the messenger." Well, today, that messenger is the young prophet Daniel. Welcome to another fascinating study on Through the Bible. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz, and our teacher, of course, is Dr. J. Vernon McGee. And if you remember from last time, Daniel had to tell the most important and powerful person in the known world that he was headed for a disaster. And unless he humbled himself before God, Nebuchadnezzar was going to lose his mind. This is a true story. It's accurate, and it's a historical account that you won't necessarily read in history books, but it gives us a picture of how God is at work, raising one leader up and then removing another according to his sovereign plan. We also catch a glimpse of how much God hates pride, but gives grace to the humble. Through the Bible's President Greg Harris and I have seen that as we travel the world together. One example is in India, where God is doing amazing things through his word and through his humble servants specifically. So, Greg, why don't you tell us a little bit about, we've done this before, TTB radio home groups that we now call TTB home groups.
Yeah, and we're going to keep talking about it because it's such an incredible opportunity. We now have thousands of these groups meeting throughout South Asia. We have 5,000 in India alone. And we're also seeing God open doors to get into 124 additional languages to get this curriculum into basically home Bible studies, if you think of it that way.
Yeah.
And it's so exciting. And the 124 languages have a total of 133 million speakers.
Yeah.
In the context of the whole world, that may not sound like much, but one way to look at it is it's about a third of the population of the United States.
Right.
But really more importantly than the size of that number, Steve, is the fact that most of these language groups have almost nothing other than the Bible. And so getting Dr. McGee's content to people is just like giving them pure gold. And it's so exciting to see how hungry they are for that. And I think we want to highlight one of those
languages. One of these languages is Santali. And you may think, you know, gee, I've never even heard of Santali. Well, 6.3 plus million people speak that language. And, you know, foreign missionaries brought the gospel originally to the Santali people. And it's one of the largest indigenous tribes in India. So it's an important group. And even though many churches have been established, most of them really lack systematic teaching of the gospel. So to have a Bible in their language oftentimes isn't enough. The churches strongly feel the need for Bible study materials, and this is important, in their heart languages to help them grow spiritually. A lot of these folks know Hindi, but when you get it into somebody's heart language, they really understand it.
And Steve, this is a story I've heard so many times over the 30 years I've been traveling the world, which is we're so grateful for the work of missionaries that came and led people to Christ and started churches. But I have heard this so many times that there was no depth left behind. And this is the role that Through the Bible plays. And here's a local pastor just saying it so well for us. He said, approximately 150 years ago, foreign missionaries came to Dumka and established the Santali Church. Today, more than 400 churches are there. This is wonderful news, okay? Wonderful.
Yep.
Here comes the but. But it is very unfortunate that till today, there is no commentary and no Bible study material in the Santali language.
Wow.
Only the Bible is available. He went on to add, our pastors and small group leaders did not have any Bible study materials to learn and teach the congregation. 400 churches, and they have nothing to help them teach.
Yeah.
And for this reason, our congregation, our church members, were not able to be rooted in the Word of God. Systematic teaching of God's Word is the need of the hour in most of our churches. We are grateful for this deep audio Bible commentary in the Santali language.
That is so encouraging. Thank you, Greg, for that letter. And let's pray as we begin our study in Daniel. Lord, we pray for the Santali people that they would continue to understand your word better, that you would continue to work through the ministry of Through the Bible, not only in the Santali language, but around the world. Bless our study in Daniel now as it goes out. In Jesus' name, amen. Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Our friends, we're considering this tremendous dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, and it's recorded here in the fourth chapter. And it's the second dream that Daniel has interpreted for him. And he saw a tree, a great tree that filled the earth, and it supplied shade and fruit and shelter and protection for everything on the earth. Now, that was Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. And he makes it very clear here in verse 22. He says, "It is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth into heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas," now this is verse 23, chapter 4 of Daniel, "and whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field, till seven times pass over him." This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord. Now, you see, the tree represents Nebuchadnezzar. He is to be cut off, but not totally rejected. And for 7 years, Nebuchadnezzar is to live with and like the beast of the fields. We won't even recognize who he is. And I'm reading on now, verse 25 and 26, "that they shall drive thee from man, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. And they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of man, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee. After that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule." Now, he makes it clear here why this dream was given to Nebuchadnezzar, and why he is interpreting it, and why he's going to have this experience. This man, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up with pride, evidenced in the last chapter when he made this tremendous image and forced all of mankind to fall down and worship him. This man is certainly filled with pride, and God now is going to humble him, and he's going to bring him out of the form of insanity that he has. Now, it's a functional form of insanity, and one that I say is common. There's a great deal of it today, of course, and we'll see how it is recognized. He was to be driven out of his palace, out to the pasture, and he'll take his abode with the oxen, and he'll forget what manner of man he is. Now, this is obviously a form of abnormality that's diagnosed by psychology today as hysteria. And some of the symptoms which are evident in Nebuchadnezzar can be distinguished, and they characterize this particular form of abnormality and the etiology of it. Many years ago, I studied abnormal psychology. Somebody asked me why I had to give it up, and I said I found out I had too many symptoms. You give up that study. And what you have in this, one of the symptoms, is excessive emotionalism. You see, it's a sort of a manic depressive psychosis. One moment the patient is joyful and friendly, and the next he's morose and antagonistic. It's a psychoneurosis, as someone has said, easy gloom, easy glow, and it's an up and down state. Now, many people have a slight form of it. You know people that they are moody at times, and another time they're very joyful. And I think that's true probably of a great many of us. Now, this is a real thing, though. I mean, there's reality to it just because it is functional and not structural. It wasn't because of, you know, something that he wasn't dropped on his head when he was a baby that caused him to be this way. I heard the whimsical little story about the woman who lived in an apartment house in a city and in a very densely populated area. And she went to a psychiatrist, and he wanted to know what her problem was. And she said, "Well, you know, at night I hear a rooster crowing. Says generally it's toward the morning." She said, "Now, I was raised on the farm. I'd hear them there. But since I've lived in the city, I've never heard a rooster crow." And yet at night, I'm hearing it toward morning, and I know there must be something wrong because I live in an apartment house. She began to take the treatment because the psychiatrist told her, said, you really got a problem. And so he had worked with her for about a month or two, and she didn't seem to get any better. She's still hearing. One night, her apartment house caught on fire. Everybody in the apartment went out. The man that lived right above her, he came out carrying a great big cage and a cover over it. And he stood there by her side as they watched the firemen putting out the fire. Finally, to make conversation, she said to him, what do you have in that cage? And he lifted the cover on it, and there was a rooster in there. And she just fainted dead away. And they brought her to and asked her, why in the world looking at a rooster? Well, she says, I've been going to a psychiatrist for over a month because I've been hearing a rooster crow each morning. Well, I want to tell you, her disease was real. She really heard a rooster crow. Now, this man here, he doesn't know who he is. And this is quite real. Now, this is a form of abnormality that, as I've said before, great many of the rulers of the earth have had. God says he sets over it the basis of rulers. And the very interesting thing is history's demonstrated that. And this man here is that type of a man. Now, another thing that characterizes, it's always a form of amnesia enters in. When it's extreme case, there are periods and the fellow doesn't know who he is. Well, that certainly characterized Nebuchadnezzar. I remember years ago when I was just a boy in Nashville, Tennessee, that's when that Nashville sound began. Hillbilly music was put out over the local radio station. And one of the announcers there periodically would disappear from the program and come back. He suffered apparently from this disease. He went out to a certain institution that dealt with abnormal people, and he spent time there because he could tell when this was coming on him, and during that period he didn't know who he was, and he'd come out of it and he'd come back. And I was asking another announcer down there one day, I had a little program on the station, a little devotional program of the morning. I asked him what was the matter with him and what caused him to have that. And he says, well, when you have to listen to that hillbilly music all day, he says, I have to do something for you. Well, I don't think really it was the music. And it may be, we saw last chapter that Nebuchadnezzar had to listen to a lot of it, the Babylonian Beatles. And that, I'm sure, maybe it turned him off. But anyway, there is another thing that identifies it, and that certainly is true in this man's case, and that is extreme egotism and pride. And it became an obsession with Nebuchadnezzar. Now, we saw back from verses 4 through verse 10, he talks about I. He had a bad case of perpendicular I-itis. Now, pride is one of the things that God says he hates. And it is something that certainly characterizes man. Old Augustus, Caesar Augustus, said of a city that he captured, he says, I found it brick. I left it straw. He had destroyed it. And another Caesar made the statement that I found Rome wood and I left it marble. You see, pride is the besetting sin of the human family. And after all, what does man have to be proud of? Jeremiah spoke of this in Jeremiah 9:23. We've seen this before. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. And you see, God's salvation rules out pride. That's one thing you can't have when you come to Christ for salvation. Paul could say, I determined not to know anything but Jesus Christ and him crucified. And that today we have nothing in which we can glory. Again, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4:7, for who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? And then in 2 Corinthians 10:17, but he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now God, as we said, he says he hates pride, and it's number one on his hate parade, and you can check me on that in Proverbs 6:16-19. And it was said of our Lord, he humbled himself. Now, hysteria can manifest itself, as we've said, in amnesia. Those afflicted with this malady do not know who they are for a period of time. That's the reason that the old cliche about the man walking about the insane institution saying he's Napoleon. Well, Nebuchadnezzar thought he was an animal, and then this runs in cycles. Now, Nebuchadnezzar went through a cycle of 7 years. Now I'm reading verse 27, "Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, and if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility." You see, this man is disturbed within his own heart. There's no peace. He brought peace to the world because there's nobody to fight him at this particular time. And he was living in sin. And the thing, you're to repent of your sins, turn from them, and turn to righteousness, turn to God, and begin to demonstrate with your life by doing things that reveal you're God's child. And so Daniel advises Nebuchadnezzar, in light of this, therefore, to repent in order to reverse the judgment coming upon him. And there was hope of deliverance, you see. But you see, he could know the peace and tranquility of God. In other words, I think this was God's final warning to Nebuchadnezzar. And a great deal of abnormality today is actually a spiritual problem. Now, I don't say all is, because I know it's not. When there is a structural basis, not just functional, of course. That is, if you were dropped on your head when you're a baby, and that may explain your conduct. And that, of course, hasn't anything maybe to do with whether it's spiritual or not. But a great deal of that is a great deal of the disturbed condition that men have today. It's abnormal, and there is peace for them. They would only come to Christ. Now, we see the tragic fulfillment of this mental malady of Nebuchadnezzar. And here, in verses 28 now through 33, will you notice it? All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spoke and said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" Now, this is evidence that the king is on the verge of a break. He looks about this great kingdom, and God's already told him that he is the one who gave him that kingdom. But Nebuchadnezzar says now, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built?" And there have been multitude of men and women from that day and even before that, right down to the present hour, that have tried to build little empires, and they've looked upon them with pride. I mentioned the other day of a conversation with two young preachers, and they quizzed me about the program that I'd had here on the West Coast of going through the Bible and the number of people that had attended. And I said this to them. I said, "Look, fellas, don't try to build a little empire." I said, "I started out with that in view, and I'll be honest with you, never have I been so disturbed. Never was I so unhappy." And then one day, and it just happened to be, it was at this particular passage of Scripture, we were going through it, and I said, "Well, I guess I'm an empire builder also, and I'm really not. My ministry is to build into the lives of people, not to try to build a great empire." So I forgot all about it. And I told them, I said, "Fellas, I can spare you a whole lot of sorrow and heartbreak and disappointment and disloyalty on the part of those that are supposed to support you. I said, start building in the lives of people, and I think then the Lord will let you have what he wants you to have." this man here now, he's plunged into this, and notice what happened to him. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it's spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from man, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, 7 times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from man, he did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird claws. Here is this man now that moves out of the palace, out yonder, to live with nature. And I have a notion, if you'd have talked to him at that time, you might not have discovered that he was abnormal. I think he'd have told you he's one of nature's children, and he's just going out and live with the animals because they were his brothers and sisters. And the very interesting thing is, somebody's going to say, well, is this historical? It's Albert Barnes in his book. He quotes Berassus, a Babylonian historian, who makes reference concerning a strange malady that was suffered by Nebuchadnezzar before his death. And I understand that there are recent findings that corroborate that statement, and Josephus is the one who is the authority for it. But it's been corroborated now by others. Now, this dream was fulfilled. Verses 34 and 35, at the end of days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven. Now his understanding comes back to him, and here's his brief testimony. Will you listen to it? He gave a testimony at the first. Now this is to be added to it. I bless the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? You see, he's learned now God's running things, that God is in control of this universe. And he accepted this thing that had come to him as the will of God for him, and he yields his proud mind to the will of God. And that's what a great many, actually, believers need to do today. Now, will you listen to verses 36 and 37? At the same time, he says, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my Lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he's able to abase. And so now Nebuchadnezzar's reason returned to him, his position as king of Babylon's restored to him, his officials surround him, the kingdom was not jeopardized by his long period of absence, and an added majesty came to him because he's come now to a knowledge of the living and the true God. My friend, this is a tremendous chapter in a Word of God. Next time we'll consider chapter 5 in the book of Daniel. Until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
When Nebuchadnezzar acknowledged God's sovereignty and power and his endless existence and rule, Nebuchadnezzar's sanity returned to him. God was gracious to give him the chance to turn back to him. You know, God gives us the same grace when we're caught up in our own pride. And someday, whether or not people want to, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Those who haven't yet bowed to him during their lives on earth will bow to Jesus under God's hand at the judgment day. How much better, like Nebuchadnezzar, to humble ourselves while God still gives us breath. Scripture says God stiff arms those who are prideful, but he draws near to the humble. Ask God to show you the condition of your heart today, and then don't hesitate to turn to him. For more resources by Dr. McGee that can help you in your walk with the Lord, call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE, or you can write to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. In Canada, write to Box 25325. London, Ontario, N6C6B1, or visit us at ttb.org. You know, one that might be of interest is this month's featured booklet by Dr. McGee titled, Why Doesn't God Do Something? Are you waiting on God maybe to move in the midst of your hardships? Do you wonder where he is in the mess of this world? Well, join us as Dr. McGee follows the prophet Habakkuk as he boldly asks the Lord, Why aren't you doing something? This booklet and more than 100 others are available for free download at ttb.org/booklets. Well, I'm Steve Schwetz, your host. For all of us here at Through the Bible, we're praying for you to know God's best as you study his word. Let's meet back here tomorrow for more great teaching in the book of Daniel. We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners who are being used by God to take the whole word to the whole world.